Good morning. It's my privilege to read our reading from Proverbs this morning, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, starting at verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him.
Thanks, Liz. Morning again, and Happy New Year. How are all those New Year's resolutions going for you? Yeah? Who's already broken their New Year's resolution? Come on, be honest. A few of you. Who didn't actually make any so you didn't have to break them? Yeah. See, there's wisdom right there. Hopefully all good though. It's only not even mid-January yet, so you know it's way too early to give up on your New Year's resolutions. And actually, we want you to actually add to them and form a few resolutions for the year ahead. As this month, we go right back to the book of Proverbs and we look at the wisdom of old, the wisdom of the ancients and the prophets, and listen to what they have to say for us for 2017, which is going to be a great year, and that they may speak into our plans for this year in the area of our hearts and our words, which is what we're looking at today. Our plans and also our friends, which we'll be looking at in the last week. All areas where we need great wisdom, don't we? And we kicked off last week by considering the challenge that it is to be wise in a society and in a culture where there's so much choice and where there's so many influences upon us and the decisions we make. And we're reminded that wisdom is something that we actually need to fight for, and that wisdom is actually about having a wise heart. And ultimately, wisdom is about placing Jesus in your heart and in the centre of your life. And this morning, we're going to continue on in that theme and look at this issue of wise words. And today, focusing on particularly on how our words impact others, but also us. And the reason we need to look at being wise in the words that we speak and the words that we share is because of something that we know very, very well. And that is that much of our lives, and particularly our relationships with one another, are actually shaped by the words that are spoken to us and by the words that we speak to other people. So it shouldn't surprise us that in the book of Proverbs, there's actually 150 references to wise or foolish words. It makes up about 1/6 of the whole book at this issue, and it's only second only to wisdom itself. So a really important topic. And this morning we're going to look at the power of words. We're going to look at the wisdom of choosing quality words. And in 2017, making our words redemptive, both for us and for those that we speak to. So as we jump into this, how about we pray and just commit our time to the Lord together. God, we do just pause now to thank you for this new year and the opportunity we have to follow you and to worship you and to devote our lives to serving you and your kingdom. And we just pray this morning again that you would continue to shape our hearts, that we may be wise people, that we may look to you for guidance this year as we seek to live in a way that's honouring and that's pleasing to you. And this morning I just pray that you would provide us wisdom in the area of our words and our speech. and the way that we speak to one another. And I pray for the words that I share now, that you would bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I want to look at the power of our words and consider this. And once again, this is something that we're already very, very aware of. But to consider, where does this power of words and of speech come from? And how can we understand it better that we may be able to speak wisely to one another? And the issue is because words are powerful, and we refer to today's passage in verse 4 that Liz read out for us, and we read that the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue actually crushes the spirit. And we know this too well, don't we? We all have been on the receiving end of a soothing tongue. We know how good that is. We've been on the receiving end of kind words and encouraging words and words that have been life-giving and life-affirming for us. Words that have left us feeling welcome or loved or whole or safe in some way. This is the power of words upon us. But equally, we've been on the receiving end of a perverse tongue, where we've been the recipient of words that have been able to crush our spirit and have left us maybe cold or feeling empty. Words that have been spoken in order to hurt us or to belittle us or to humiliate us, and sometimes completely unwilling by those people speaking those words. This is the power of words. Words that we have had spoken to us, but also words that we have spoken to other people. Words that are able to make us laugh and to cry or to get angry, maybe. Words that are so powerful that they can start wars. But words that are also so powerful they can bring peace and reconciliation. And we see this day by day around our globe, don't we, as various nations exchange words with this power tussle that goes on. But where does this power of words come from? Why do words hold so much power? Well, we know that the words have power because God Himself speaks words. Speaking is actually one of the attributes of God, and not just God, but also the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Word. And we see the enormous power of words in Genesis 1, right back in the beginning, when God speaks life into existence. It starts in verse 3 of the Bible, where God said, "Let there be light." And as He said that, the power of His words brought light. And God said, "Let there be water," and there was water. "And let there be sky and land," and there was sky and land. "And let there be a moon and a sun," and they came into existence as well. "And let there be birds and produce and fish." Let there be fish. That one I'm really happy about. At the creation of the world, God used words to speak life into existence. That's the power of a word. And then in Genesis verse 26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." And as creatures formed in God's image, we are unique amongst all of creation in that we are also able to speak and to understand words. We don't bark, we don't meow, we don't tweet, or not in the way that birds do anyway. We speak words. This is how we communicate to one another. And while our words, thankfully, are nowhere near as powerful as God's words are, they are still very, very powerful nonetheless. But as we move from the creation story in chapters 1 and 2, where God speaks life into existence, we move to chapter 3, where we know someone else speaks too, don't they? The devil also used words. And rather than words of life, his words were full of lies, and they were designed to deceive and to ultimately bring death to those they were spoken to. So we have powerful words of life on one hand and powerful words of deception and death on the other hand. And the writer of the Proverbs picks up on this contrast in the power of words when we read in Proverbs 18:21 that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is the power that words can have in our lives. Sorry, first message for the year, and I'm a bit rusty, obviously. Let me have a drink. I was thinking about, when I thought about the power of words, you know, the two words that came to mind for me, that two words that parents, but not just parents, all of us know really, really well, are the words yes and no. Those words we hear from our children often, don't we? And I remember when my kids were right into the game show or the called the X Factor. Who knows about the X Factor? My kids got right into the X Factor. And this is the one where the four judges, you know, they see and listen to people perform, and they decide whether a contestant goes through to the next round and eventually onto the finals, or whether they actually they actually bomb out. And the judges were actually made famous by the phrase, "It's a no from me." You remember that one? And also, "It's a yes from me." I think that's supposed to be like goalposts, so it's like kicking a goal. And for weeks while the X Factor was on, we'd ask the kids to do something or to help us with something, and they would go, "It's a no from me." Or if it was something really good, they would say, "It's a yes from me, I'm in." And the reality is that those X Factor judges actually held the power of life and death on their tongue. And while it was only for the future careers or non-careers of the contestants, there was still so much power in that yes or no. With a simple yes or no, they were deciding who had life in the singing or the performing industry and whose career had just come to a tumbling fast death. So much power in just one small little word. And thankfully, while life is not reality TV, it does remind us that words have this incredible power, don't they? To bring life to those who hear and speak wise words, and to bring death to those who hear and speak foolish words. So this morning we want to consider if words have this great power of life and death, then this year we really want to ensure that we speak quality, wise words to one another. Words that lead to life for us, but also for others. And this is what the Proverbs point us to as we read in chapter 15 today, where the writer contrasts words that are gentle versus words that are harsh, and words that are soothing, as we heard, versus those that are perverse, and words that are life-giving versus words that are designed to crush and diminish. So I want to run just quickly this morning through five essential qualities of wise words according to the writer of Proverbs, that we might understand how to speak wisely also. And the first one is this, that wise words are true. Proverbs 14:25 says, "A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful." The truth is hard to take sometimes, isn't it? But there's also something really powerful about hearing the truth, particularly for ourselves, and particularly when it comes from people who we know love us and care for us and have our best interests at hand. The close friend who speaks truth into our lives when they share their concern about what we are getting, the trouble that we're getting ourselves into. The manager who lays out for us the areas that we can improve in our work with a heart to see us thrive and to succeed in our role. The life group study leader who brings God's truth to us from the Bible and delivers God's word faithfully so that it challenges us to change and to become more like Jesus. This is the power of quality, truthful words that this year I want you to speak to me just as I have opportunity to speak them to you. But there's a qualifier, isn't there? And Paul reminds us about this in chapter 4, verse 15 of Ephesians, when he writes, "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." We need to speak true words, wise words, but we need to speak them in love. And when we do that, this is what true words can do. They can actually help us to grow. So wise words are quality words, and quality words are words of truth. They're true words. But wise words are also gentle. Proverbs 15:1, the first verse from our passage today, says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." There's some simple truths here, isn't there? But they're so, so true, aren't they? Harsh words, you know, they're like this slippery slope. Once they've begun, it's like there's no way to get off. And we know that where those harsh words end up is in anger and wrath and disappointment. And we know that the greatest tool that we have to get off that slippery slope and to dissolve a heated situation is actually to speak gentle words, to speak gently and calmly. I remember numerous times, actually, I've rung up a service provider to complain that the service that I had paid for was not being delivered appropriately. And it's usually a telco, isn't it? The poor telcos always get a hard time with these illustrations. But I remember the times that I've rung up and I've got hold of one of those customer service people who've just quietly listened to my rant, and then they've spoke with empathy and they've spoke calmly and they've spoke with gentle words, and all of a sudden my issue just goes down and down and down. And it's really frustrating, isn't it? Because you wanted to vent your anger, and this person has spoken gentle words in response. Elsewhere in Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 25:15, "Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone." A gentle tongue can break a bone. That sounds like it's bad, doesn't it? But actually the writer here is trying to demonstrate to us just how powerful gentle words can be. So much more powerful than harsh words. So we're wise when we use gentle words. John Maxwell puts it this way. He says, "Never use a hammer to swat a fly off someone's head." Sometimes we reach straight for the hammer, don't we? And wisdom says, reach for gentle words. We need to be gentle with our words because they have enormous power. And we are wise when we share quality, gentle words with people, and especially when they're angry. But quality, wise words are also humble. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let someone else praise you, and not your own mouth, an outsider, and not your own lips." Wise words are humble. Have you ever heard the phrase, talk it up? To talk it up is to promote or to advertise something by saying good things about it, and probably, you know, telling as many people as we can. We like to talk things up that they may get enthusiastic about it just as we are. More recently, talking it up has become popular when referring to how we go about job interviews. So you go into a job interview and you talk yourself up. You talk about the key attributes and strengths you can bring to that role and why that person should employ you. And in that context, we may get away with a certain degree of talking it up, overconfidence or maybe arrogance even. But when people talk themselves up in everyday conversation, it starts to get a bit too much, doesn't it? And the main problem is that it doesn't leave any space for others to praise you. Wisdom says, let someone else praise you, that you may be kept from boasting. And here is a reminder that as we're humble, it's more likely that others will be willing to encourage you and to thank you and to bless you and to share kind words with you. But people are rarely going to do that when we're busy boasting about our own achievements. Which is a good lead into our next point, which is that quality words of wisdom are also prudent. Prudent isn't really a word we use much more, is it? But it refers to being careful or maybe even reserved in the words that we use. But the writer of Proverbs uses it in chapter 10, verse 19, where they say, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Once again, this is just so spot on, isn't it? And the Apostle Paul would add, again, a qualifier to this also, as he did in Ephesians 4:29, where he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And what's the qualifier? Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The prudent hold their tongues. And if it's not going to build someone up, then maybe we should just leave whatever it is unsaid. This is the challenge, isn't it, when it comes to speaking wise words. If it's the wrong thing because it's untrue, or because it's harsh, or because it's mean, then maybe it's just better to put a zip in it. Sometimes the wise thing is actually just to say nothing. Lady Dorothy Neville says, the real art of conversation is not only to say the right thing in the right place, but also to leave unsaid the wrong thing at that tempting moment. So true. Proverbs 12:18 tackles it in the reverse by addressing reckless words. We read, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We want our words to be healing words, to be life-giving words, to be uplifting words, to be helpful words, words that build others up. And this requires prudence. And finally, these wise words are timely. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word? We want to be people this year who speak just the right words at just the right time. Why? Because it's powerful for both the person speaking and also for the person receiving. When you feel prompted to email that person that's been on your heart, when you feel prompted to write someone a card to thank them and encourage them, when you feel prompted to message them and say how encouraged you were by their presence or by what they shared with you, or maybe even, I know we don't do this much anymore, but maybe even to call someone up. How random would that be? Call someone up and to share a timely word. And I know when I've been obedient to that prompt, to share a timely word with someone, the response, almost 9 times out of 10, is thank you, thank you, thank you. I just needed to hear that at this time. We find joy in giving and receiving timely words because it seems in those times that God is prompting one person and God is giving to another. and that he is part of that process. And when he is, it is just so, so encouraging, isn't it? This is the power of a timely word. So these are just a few of the life-giving qualities of wise words that you'll find scattered throughout the Proverbs as we discover that wise words will be true and wise words will be gentle and they'll be humble and they'll be prudent and they'll be timely. And so from the wisdom literature, we actually learn here how to speak wise words to one another. But we need to finish this morning by remembering who can change our words. Who can give us the wisdom we're so eager to embrace in this coming year? That our words might be truly redeeming. In the letter of James and in the third chapter, there's a well-known chapter there about taming the tongue. And I'm sure many of you have read it in the past, and there's some excellent instruction in there, and it'd be good to read again this week as part of reflecting on what wise words are. This is what James has to say about the tongue and its power to bring life and death. He writes, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." Did you hear what he said? He said, no human being can tame the tongue. It sounds like our fate is kind of set, doesn't it? But James finishes the chapter by explaining that in our world there's actually two kinds of wisdom. The first kind is this earthly wisdom, which is often selfish and envious, which can be unspiritual, and which he says can even be evil. But then James refers to another kind of wisdom, a wisdom that comes down from heaven. He describes this wisdom in verse 17 as first of all pure, then peace-loving, wisdom that's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This is a beautiful type of wisdom. And who is this wisdom that comes down from heaven? This is Jesus, the Word who became flesh. This is Jesus, the Word of God, who dwells in our hearts through faith. This is Jesus, the one who, as we heard last week, can actually change our hearts and give us wisdom which will overflow with wise words. And so, as he redeems our hearts, we are enabled to have mouths and lips and tongues that can also be redemptive as we speak wise words. Our redemption means he fills our hearts with the abundance of God. And from this can overflow wisdom and wise words. Wise words that can actually redeem things that have been said many, many years ago in the past. Maybe not change those things, but bring wholeness and healing to those words. Wise words that can bring that healing where there's actually been hurt. Wise words that can ask for forgiveness, but can also offer forgiveness where necessary. You know, I had someone come to me before Christmas, in the week prior to Christmas, and they said, "Brendan, I just want to ask for forgiveness for some harsh words that I spoke to you earlier in this year." And to be honest, I didn't receive those words as harsh words. I actually received them as words that actually built me up. But nonetheless, the person felt like they had shared them harshly. And in coming and asking for forgiveness, redemption actually happened between us in our relationship. that person was able to actually feel like they're okay with me in our relationship. And for me, it actually went from neutral to actually being built up. And redemption, our relationship was redeemed to a new level as forgiveness flowed and as forgiveness was received also. Wise words, James says at the end of chapter 3, can make us peacemakers who sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. What an incredible promise for us as we seek to speak wise words in this year ahead. James is here, I think, describing something much bigger than I think we can even fathom. That as our hearts are redeemed and know righteousness, that we can speak words that bring life and hope and peace and joy and even his righteousness to those we share words with this year. This is an enormous privilege, isn't it? That our words are that powerful that they can bring life to people in place of death, and that they can bring peace to people in place of despair. So as you're continuing on with your resolutions that you may want to recommit to, some of you, or some of you may want to make some resolutions given the number of hands that went up in my second question, here's some other resolutions for us for the year ahead. May God give you wise words as he continues to live in your heart and as he continues to transform your mind to be more like his son Jesus. May your words be a tree of life in 2017 and beyond as we each resolve to be wise in the way that we speak to one another. Let's pray as we finish. Lord, this morning we just want to pause first of all and say that we're sorry for all of the foolish words that we've spoken this past year, but also in years prior. We ask that you forgive us where our words have been less than life-giving for others. And we pray that this year, as you reign in our hearts and as you are Lord of our lives, that we would learn to speak wise words, not for our glory, but for yours. We pray that our words would help to build others up. We pray that our words would ultimately point them to you as their Saviour and as their friend. This is our prayer for the year ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.